Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
That is, man, that's why we're here. We are here to make Jesus famous. We exist to make Jesus famous. We want you to go out and make Jesus famous, because how you present Jesus to the world is how they see Him. But when I got my tattoo for Make Jesus Famous, my tattoo guy laughed at me, and he's like, you know, when I showed this to my wife, we were like, everybody knows who Jesus is. He's famous. And I just looked at him and said, great, who is he to you? Because he ain't famous. And I know people. I could, before he passed, I could pick Toby Keith out of a crowd. But we didn't know each other. People can recognize, if I throw a picture, I was with a bunch of pastors this week, and we were laughing. With the house we were in is very nice, but do you remember back in the 90s, they would do these huge canvas paintings of Jesus, and they always painted Jesus lily white? And I was with a black brother, and we were laughing at it, because I'm like, there's not an Irish Jesus. Irish Jesus in the Middle East burns. Like, I don't know if you've ever taken an Irish person to the beach, but that's not where they want to hang out. And so what happens is, and then we started talking about, depending on what culture you're in, there's a black Jesus and a Mexican Jesus and a Latino Jesus and a Catholic Jesus and a, you. But and here, the point of it, I don't really care. You know, Jesus was Jewish. We pretty much know that. He's brown skin, right? Like, we're down with that. But the point of all this, is people don't know the real Jesus. Like, would you know Jesus if he walked up in flesh and presented himself to you? Or would you know the Jesus that your grandma taught you, or your parents taught you, or that you got from SNL sketches making fun of Christianity? I don't mean that funny. Unfortunately, we've given some people reasons to make fun of us. But man, when you get into who was the real Jesus, Jesus begins to shape your life. Week one, we talked about the temptation of Jesus and how, you know, Jesus used Scripture to overcome the enemy. So the reality of it is that there is a real Jesus that wanted us to use Scripture to overcome the enemy. He teaches us about prayer and fasting week one. And then last week, man, Jay taught so well on the woman at the well. There's so many things you can teach about the woman at the well. One of the things I loved is, in order to follow Jesus, she had to put her jars down. Sometimes to really follow Jesus, you got to get the stuff out of your hand that's been holding you back from following Jesus. And so we sit there and we look at all this stuff and we go, man, what does real Jesus look like? And for us, I instantaneously turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go 13 through 16. It's only three verses of Scripture, but if you let it, it'll mess you up. I didn't even plan on preaching this, but a good friend of mine, Pastor Matt, was preaching it this morning. We started talking about his sermon. We started brainstorming together, and then the next thing you know, I was like, that's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching that because I like it. And here's the way it reads. Matthew 5, 13 starts this way. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It can't. It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under feet." Now, I am a salt guy. I like salty things. But I like salty things with sweet things. So, like, I'm going to eat a Reese cup and then two Pringles. And whenever I run out of one, they have to end together, or I'm done with whichever one ran out first. Because there's anybody else like this? Okay, one, three people. Great. So we're the three smart people in the room. So Liz, come up here just for a second. So are you okay with eating chips? Okay, great. So, I don't even know why I got that. I got that out for you like you weren't capable. So I want you to get a chip out and eat it. Taste the saltiness. I'm not going to ask you another question for a minute. You just chew. It's kind of like communion. Like, how much time do you have to eat the wafer before? Anyway, it's okay, great. So, oh, I thought you were talking about my chips. I'm like, they're pretty. Okay, so take another one. It's okay. Don't eat it yet. But so my wife, my son got these for my wife. Hold it. So, fancy salt shaker. So now what I would love for you to do is just put that I wouldn't do that. Have you ever noticed, you can go have a seat. Have you ever noticed that, because people want the taste of salt, but you can oversalt people. Anybody see where I'm going with this? See, sometimes what we do as Christianity is we come in like this. Have you ever seen, I got my Jesus shirt on, I got my Jesus tattoos, I got my What Would Jesus Do bracelet from the 80s, I got my, you know, Jesus hat on. I get right. And sometimes people are like, whoo, you just kind of overdoing it. I saw a Honda Pilot, and in this big like vinyl font, it had Jesus is my with an arrow pointing to the Pilot thing. And I was like, one, that's clever. Two, no. Nobody's going to repent, give their life to Jesus because God is your Pilot. Have you ever seen people that will come in and somebody's having a problem and they take Jesus like this and they blow it all in their face? Because here's the thing that I've learned about salt. Salt is only good in the right portions. Salt is only good in the right portions. I dated a girl one time. It was before Tracy. We were moving over here. Yeah, that's good. Right. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's solid. The point of that was this wasn't Tracy who did this. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of this. Otherwise, we got to go back to the marriage conference. And so what happened was we moved over here from the Virginia-Tennessee line, and she was going to bake me cookies because I love cookies, chocolate chip and peanut butter. But she made me chocolate chip. And a key ingredient to cookies, you may not know this, is sugar. She didn't use that. Oh, yeah. She used salt. She asked me how I liked them. I did what any God-fearing man. I lied. This is the best. I tried one of I took a napkin and wiped it off, and I handed one to my mom, and I'm like, these are disgusting. Because we're from the South. What do you say? Try this. It was horrible. Please take a bite. And so mom was like, honey, she didn't put any sugar in these. This tastes like she used all salt. Here's what I learned. Too much salt applied in the wrong place will ruin your taste for salt. If you come in, salt is made to complement whatever's going on in the dish. So when we bring Jesus into people's lives, what we have to do is we have to use him as a complement, not as something that is a detractor. Because the real Jesus walked into people's lives like this. Hey, can I have some water? Not like, I'm the Son of God. Have you ever seen that stuff when they throw it on the ground like the magic dudes and it smokes and they step through? That's not the way Jesus showed up. But why do some Christians want to show up like that? Why do we take Christianity and we want to put it so heavy on people that it actually becomes a repellent? What Jesus said to do is this is you know, these aren't super salty, but what if you said, hey, you know, I know you're going through something. Can I just pray with you? Hey, I know you're struggling a little bit. Could I help you financially? Could I just write you? Hey, I noticed your yard was really high, and I know your husband's been sick. I'm just going to mow that for you. Hey, I saw you broke down on the side of the road, and it looks like you could just use some help. Does this make sense? Hey, I know people got to put their cars in spots all the time at church. Can I help with that? Hey, I know that there's some mamas that need a break. Some of y'all didn't even come here to hear about Jesus. You just came here so somebody else would watch your kids for free. You wanted a nap. Let's be honest. Sit in the back row in the corner and just leaning. You're like, Pastor, Jesus gives sweet sleep to his beloved. Does this make sense? Like, can I say this? People underestimate the value of coffee. If it weren't for coffee, you guys might not see Jesus in me. Like, our hospitality exists so that kids can get snacks and adults can get snacks so their stomach doesn't speak to them louder than Jesus. Why? Because that's just salt in the Word of God. Does this make sense? What I really feel like God is wanting you to do is He's wanting you to go and be salt to the world. Because here's what I believe. Matthew, we're not going to bring these up on Scripture, so just leave the ones that you've got there. But Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is the Great Commission, right? And it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. So you have to understand, this is to every believer, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Do you know the greatest exercise of power is not domination, but is leadership? Somebody who dominates over somebody forces subjects to follow them. A leader gets people to want to follow them. Jesus could have come in and said, everybody in the world, obey me. I don't even know if he talked like that, but it sounded good. If we're going to be real ambassadors for Christ, knowing that we have all authority just gives us the confidence to lead. Not to impose, but to lead. And he says this. He said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Our common calling is to make disciples, baptize, and teach. People ask me all the time, why don't you do all the baptisms at the church? And I'm like, because I'm not called to. I don't know when pastors started doing all the baptisms. That's not what the Bible said. That's not the real Jesus. Jesus said, look, to all the believers, make disciples, teach, and baptize people. I did not get an MVP card to Jesus with my ordination. I did not get like a discount card. I didn't get a fast pass if you're a Disney goer. I didn't get my prayer is as good as your prayer. The difference between my walk and your walk is not my level of holiness. Somebody needs to amen and jump up and down on that. People look at pastors like, no. That's not my job. My job is to equip the believers. To do what? To do the work of the Father. My job is to get you ready to mobilize and actually be the church. To take salt into the world in the right portions where people actually want to taste it. Now, I love this because I brought this salt and pepper shaker because we are bougie a little bit in my house. We got white salt in the bottom, but we got Himalayan pink salt in the top because God works through all colors and types of people. That was free. That was mildly unplanned. But so we've got the bougie salt thing. So when you bend it over, it lights up. I don't know, like, who pours salt in the dark? I really don't get that feature. But so people come over to our house and they're like, do we twist this? And we're like, no, just turn it upside down. They're like, ooh, aren't you fancy? And I'm like, yeah. So what we do next is the next time they come over, we give them this one. Because what you do is this. Now, here's the funny thing. These two operate totally different. This works on gravity. This requires a battery. This has a light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And pour some salt. This one, push a button. Shut it back. Push a button. Shut it back. Push a button. Come back. Now, here's the thing. You know the funny thing about these two salt and pepper shakers? They both pour salt. When did we decide that there was one way that God moved through people? Or one type of person? This one's a little taller, a little thicker. This one's a little shorter, a little skinnier. Both of them pour salt. This one's green-topped because it loves thrive. This one lights up in blue because it doesn't know Jesus yet. But no, I'm just kidding. But this one's a little flashier. This one's a little bit more basic. Why do we try to fit molds of saying that God only moves through one type of person rather than figuring out that we all have this common calling, which is to fulfill the Great Commission, right? But we also have unique callings. We all have unique callings, and God is going to move His salt through us in unique ways. Because here's what I think. I think God wants to make you salty, and not like that. Not salty like you need a nap, but salty like have you ever had somebody who's really in love with Jesus and just being around them, the atmosphere is mildly different? There's just something. Have you ever gone to somebody's house? Like, I hate green beans. I just hate them. I mean, I didn't say anything about Jesus. I just said something about green beans. I got people offended right now. I don't like them. So here's what I do. We get the real ones, put them a little olive oil, stir them up, throw a little salt, little pepper, little Dijon or little Dijon mustard in them, pop them up. Dude, those things are dope. Like, I'll eat them by the bucketful. Why? Because seasoning makes all the difference in what you have to digest. When God calls us to be salt, what He's saying is, I need you to teach truth in such a way that people want to eat it. They're hungry for it. You ever been hungry? You found out what's on the menu. All of a sudden, you decided to fast. I love Jesus, but some people talk about Jesus, and I'm like, I can't be around you. You about to get on my nerves. Because you are representing the Father in a way that the Father would never have represented by the Son. Does this make sense? Look at the way Jesus rolled up. I love this. I love that Jesus loved hanging out more with sinners than He did church people. Why? Because church people got on His nerves. They made Him flip tables. Because here's what He said. He said, I don't want you to follow me in a system. I want you to follow me in this passionate relationship where I make you a little salty. I make you a little flavorful. I'm like MSG. I just give it a little kick, but I don't give you a headache. You know what I'm talking about? Like there's just something in it. Anybody ever been to people's houses that don't salt or season anything? Yeah, you don't eat anything over there. I love people that go, I teach the unadulterated word of God. Well, I agree with that. I just don't think you got to make it taste like a vitamin. Because Jesus didn't. Jesus would say things like this. The kingdom of God is like a field. God, how did you make something so holy as the kingdom of God as natural as a field? Because He's like, it's holy, but it's only holy because I'm there. It's only special because of me. I'm the salt. That's why He looked at some people and said, dude, you're like a whitewashed tomb. You look good on the outside. I just haven't done anything on the inside. You like chicken that somebody cooked really hot. The outside looks great, but the inside's raw and will make you sick. Some churches, man, the outside looks really good, but and I'm not picking on other churches, but the inside, there's nothing, there's no content there to help you get better. I would rather have a sucky outside, but a beautiful empty tomb full of what Jesus is doing and bring them back to light. Does this make sense? It's time that we got back to taking salt into places, not like the Pope walk in with a big hat so everybody knows you're Christian, but like Jesus, where you walk in and the atmosphere just feels different. Here's what I think. I think you got to stop trying to be bland. I'm getting another tattoo soon. Well, thank you. Made up for the green beans. Actually, I'm getting two. I'm going to get a Holy Spirit dove, and I'm getting a compass. Because between the two, I won't lose my way. Because it's easy, even as a pastor, to get busy doing things and forget to be in a relationship with Jesus. So I just put stuff on my arm that I got to see every day. Like if I get ready to flip you off, I'm right-handed. I'm sorry. Give you the dove. It's hard for me to flip you off and read Make Jesus Famous and honor both of them at the same time. You think these are for other people. They're for me. The two scriptures I have in here, one is Luke 4:18-19. It's where Jesus talks about coming and binding up the brokenhearted, releasing captives, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. That's why I'm here. Jeremiah 1:5 says, God created me to be the prophet to the nations. These are the two things God created me to do. Not that I think I'm going to a bunch of nations, but can we be honest with you? There's a redneck nation. And there's a black nation. And there's a Hispanic nation. And there's a bowling league nation. and there's a hunting league nation, and there are all these, and God sent me, I'm all things to all men, Paul said, that I might win some. I'm going into different people groups. If we were in another country, they would call them tribes. There's the new mama tribe. They all got bags under their eyes. There's the teenage mama tribe. They all trying to give them to somebody else. Hey, you want to go do a sleepover for a month? Anyway. But what if you stepped into the fact that God uniquely made you to be a little salty, to be a little flavorful? And I'm not saying you've got to go get a tattoo, or you've got to wear a hat, or you got to wear skinny jeans, you got to wear Jordans, or you got. But what if your thing is just your thing? Like, you're just who and what God created you to be, and that there's enough flavor in that that some people are going to want to follow it. The Reverend Mike Ditka, who's not a reverend, he's a football coach, but he said this. He said 50% of the people are going to love you, 50% of the people are going to hate you. Just be you. What if you decided that you're a son or daughter of God and you're good enough to change the world? The part that he called you to. Okay. Verse 14 says this, "You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand so it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I love this. He said, you're the light of the world. You're bright. The thing that's inside of you should shine bright. But watch this. He said, but a city on a hill can't be hidden. But now he gives context to how bright the light is. Because if you see a city on a hill afar off, it's beautiful. Anybody ever got a high rise in a big city? And you're looking out and you're like, man, this place is beautiful. Now, you, because you can't see all the bad going on. There's still bad going on. Even in good people that follow Jesus and have the light shining through them, there's still some bad stuff that goes on. Can somebody testify? Look, I love Jesus. I shine bright, but I got some issues. Those, you know what? I think that those issues are what keeps you humble so that you don't think more of yourself than you ought to. And he goes on, he says this. He said, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. In other words, they hide it, but on a stand so that it gives light to the whole world. Now watch this. I got this week from a friend. It's a flashlight. It's a cute little flashlight. But if I do this, it becomes obnoxious. Because the light that God puts inside of you is to light people's way, not to point out their weakness. Does this make sense? So when I go into my office, or I go onto my construction site, or I go into the shop, or I go into the wherever you go into, to you get up and you're a stay-at-home mom, my job is to light the way for people to walk around in the house. Well, what's the house talking about? It's talking about the house and the people of God. He's like, man, you need to show people around so that they can get closer to the Father. And I really love this one because I hope something's metal. It's magnetic. Because you may not have a bright light, but it's still contagious. You don't have to have a lot. If I had them shut off all the lights in this room, suddenly this little light of mine, well, it's actually pretty doggone bright anyway, is, you know what's funny? Is there, your light is probably brighter than you assumed. Does this make any sense? The only problem is this, is that when I put it on my keychain and put it in my pocket, it ain't doing anybody any good. Could it be? Jesus said this. He said, don't put your lamp under a bushel. Here's the thing. Don't put your flashlight in your pocket. Don't leave it under the seat of your truck. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Get it out and use it. But what if I use it wrong? Anybody ever called a little kid? I take little kids hunting all the time. And I give them a flashlight because it makes them feel safer. And the first thing they'll do, how many hunters do I have? Hunters? Anybody ever had a little kid go, is this where we're going? And light you right in the freaking eyes. Yeah. You know, well, it was. And then what do? You go, hey, son, let's keep that pointed on the ground. Because it's never in. Intuitive to anybody to know how to use salt or light. It's taught and it's caught. That's called discipleship. What is the light? How do I use? Anybody ever called their grandma? Hey, how much blank do you put in this recipe? Well, yeah, it's a pinch. Well, grandma, how much is a freaking pinch? Your fingers are old and wrinkly. I feel like they got some divots in there. Mine may not have. Is your pinch more or less than right? Anybody's grandma ever said, well, honey, you just do it till it tastes right. Here's the thing. God said this. He said, there's no magic way to minister to other people. You just do it till it tastes right. You give them enough salt to where they want to eat what you're serving. You give them enough light to where they can follow you. The one thing you can't do is hide the salt from everybody else or keep your light in your pocket. I don't think evangelism looks like you stand on a street corner and preach at people. Not anymore. There was a time for that. There was a time when we put up big tents and people came from all over the place. Now, people, a tent is not exciting. The first thing I think is there's no air conditioner or heat. I'm not. Look, my idea of camping is getting the specialty rate at the Hampton. If I'm gonna camp, I want something that tows behind my truck. That I hook up to other things and make it not outdoorsy. Could it be that what God wants you to do is take what you have into the world around you and make it comfortable and palatable for them? I'm never going to take my wife tent camping again. I promise. Sure. I took her twice, both times we were student ministry. One time it monsooned and flooded her tent. I thought that a four-man tent could fit four people. Yeah, I was wrong. My wife was such a sport. She called me over. There's rain running in her tent. Her sleeping bag's full of water. She said, hey, babe, can you come here? Crap. She said, hey, I'm just going to let you know. I'm not mad. I'm not sure that was true. But I'm never doing this again. Okay, babe. No, honey. Ever. Yes, ma'am. But when she left her tent, she let her light shine. Stuff was still going on. Here's my thing. Can you take what God wants to do in your life to where you work and to the people you live with and give them just enough salt and just enough light that they can navigate the world around? Because the darker it is, the easier it is for light to be seen. The blander the food is, the easier it is for people to taste flavor. We're living in a time that actually excites me. It used to make me really depressed until I figured out that just means there's more fish to catch. And I'm not a fisherman. I'm a catcherman. Can I get a witness? I'm not a hunter. I'm a shooter. My point is this. I think God put something unique inside of you. Our church does not exist for a bunch of people to create a club. We're a movement that's going to change Alamance County. And the only way we can do that is for you to take your salt and your light and go share it with the world. You receive this today? Can we pray? Father, as we get ready to come to close, I ask that first of all, you let this word find a good spot in our heart. God, you talked about what kind of soil seed fell on. Well, God, today I ask that you let us be good soil. God, plant something inside of us that changes not just us, but the world. God, I don't want to come to church. I want to be the church. So, Father, today I just pray that your Holy Spirit falls on every person that's here, God, in a way that challenges them to go out into the world and make a difference. But maybe you're here, maybe you're watching online and you're like, you know what, Pastor, I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. I'm not right, man. If I die today, I don't know that I go to heaven. I'm pretty sure I would go to hell. If that's you, we just slip your hand up, whether here or online. We just want to pray with you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Can we just pray across this room together? Dear Heavenly Father, right now I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. make me right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you give these folks a round of applause? Biggest decision that you can make. Matter of fact, if you gave your life to Christ online, we ask you to email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We'd love to connect you with somebody that can help you become discipled, that would help you follow Jesus. If you're here in house, you can look for anybody. Nobody on stage has one, but with these square lanyards, people are holding them up right now. If you gave your life to Jesus, if you connect with one of these people, we would love to connect you with somebody that can lead you in paths of discipleship that'll help you get close to Jesus. Father, right now, as we get ready to dismiss, but God, I just want to take a holy moment here. Father, for you to, first of all, let us honor you and make you famous. Jesus, I live my life just to make you famous. We live our lives to make you famous. This church exists to make you famous. So Jesus, will you use all of us? Use us in this building. Use us in a new building. God, use us when we go to Walmart. Use us when we drive down the interstate. Use us as we go to work, God. Use us in our families, God. We're just asking that you make us vessels that you pour stuff into and you pour stuff out of. God, will you let our relationship with you deepen in a way that it never has? And Father, we're going to be people that come after you with everything that we have, God, so that you can speak in us and through us. Father, make us a city on a hill. Make us a light that shines so bright that people can't help but notice. God, we don't want them to notice us. We just want them to see your reflection in us. God, we're going to give you the glory for what you do. It ain't us. God, we didn't do anything but say yes to you saving us. God, we didn't do anything but grab the rope when you threw it. God, we didn't create buildings. You did. We didn't create names. You did. We didn't create culture. You did. But Father, let us honor and steward what you give us well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.